This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Are you concerned about yourself or someone else you care about living at home alone? Kia ora, this is MS Momentum. My name is Katie Burns. I'm the Community Connector for MS Otago. Today I am happy to be talking with Angela Edwards, who is a founder of the Ally Cares app. Angela has over 15 years of experience in delivering digital solutions, background in UX design and accessibility, and a focus on ensuring Ally Cares is as accessible and easy to use as possible. So, kia ora, Angela, thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure. It's good to be here.
So, what is the Ally Cares app?
Wow, the Ally Cares app, we originally launched the app focused on solving problems for people living with dementia or cognitive impairment and their families. We've sort of broadened the scope of it now to as a senior support app. The reason being is that most people will not get a dementia diagnosis if they've got a level of cognitive impairment. There's a rate of about 60% of New Zealanders who won't get one. So they're not going to go looking for solutions with a dementia-focused support app.
Yeah, absolutely.
We also started kind of looking at different ways to provide support from health and wellness through to the caregiver side, ensuring that they're aware of how their loved one is managing their day-to-day. So at the moment, the features of the app cover medication reminders, appointments, appointment reminders, tasks, geofencing, so what we call safe zones.
Mm-hmm.
That is, if you are prone to potentially wandering or get turned around a bit when you're out and about, so potentially get confused about where you are. The value in it really is connected care. So it's having a family member or family members connected to you within the app, which enables their oversight, unobtrusive, but to know whether or not you're managing your day-to-day. And if potentially you do get lost or something like that, they'll know where to find you.
Yeah.
So that's where we started with. Now we're building some quite exciting features around, you know, looking at your symptoms and your mood, being able to get that information over time, being able to create a bit of a health picture of how you are. When we put that together with, you know, how you are managing your day-to-day, if you are taking your medication, and then that can kind of be used when you go to see your GP. And it gets exciting again when you can start to actually look at, well, what if we bring AI into this? What if we can actually scrape and look at patterns of behaviour that we might not normally look at or understand or see? AI can do that for us. So potentially you've started a new medication 3 days ago. That's coincided with you starting to log that you've felt dizzy, or potentially a care partner has noticed changes in you, and they've also made a comment or logged that in the app too. So this all kind of, you know, presents itself as more holistic understanding of how you're doing over time. And that's where we kind of get into the exciting stuff, really.
Yeah. That's brilliant. Like, I'm forever, it feels like, saying to people, you know, keep a symptom diary when you start a new medication, keep a symptom diary so you know, it's quite hard to tell after the fact the effect that something's actually having.
Yes.
We're not very good at looking kind of outside of the moment quite often, as human beings. And so I love that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think as well, like, can you remember how you were last week or the week before? Like, it's one of those things that, I mean, I noticed on my way here that I had a bit of a headache, and I thought, why have I got a headache? I should log this because, you know, I've been getting them a bit more lately, and I know I've been grinding my teeth at night. So all these things are connected, but we don't notice them. But if we start to log that information, you know, and it doesn't need to be arduous. We're trying to do it in a way that's very simple, and at a time that suits you. If you're busy at the moment, skip it or reschedule it. It'll come back later and ask you to quickly select a couple of buttons and just say how you are. But it starts to build a really good picture about how you're doing. And then, your healthcare provider, your family, they've got awareness of how you're doing as well. And then, they can adjust your care plan accordingly. Mm. I'm quite excited about what we're doing in that space. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. And when you kind of first started talking about dementia and older adults and that kind of thing. Well, I imagine it would be quite useful for people with other cognitive impairments, I know cognitive impairment can be quite a big issue within multiple sclerosis and obviously lots of other neurological conditions as well. So,
yes.
Yeah, I really love the, expandability of how it can help.
Yeah, and I agree. I feel, and we've had organisations reach out to us saying, hey, could we use this with our community, our population? And I've said, absolutely. At the moment, though, all our marketing, messaging, everything within the app is kind of targeting, our initial target market, which were people with dementia, cognitive impairment and sort of seniors. Just really so that we can focus in on that. You can't really create a product that's for everyone, and then try and get it out there. It's very challenging as it is, sort of in a direct to customer sort of fashion. But yes, I've had people clinicians say that it would be suitable for people who've had a stroke. We've had people with traumatic brain injury use the app. People with autism use the app. There's quite a broad use case there. I guess anybody who potentially needs support from care partners can use a smartphone and potentially might have sort of more complex health issues. Mm.
I think it's very, it's very broader than just,
the big
in quotation
just.
marks, just And so what's the story of how the app, came to be?
Yeah. We came back from London during COVID and moved to Cromwell, which was quite a change, London to Cromwell.
Yes.
And I started working for, so my background is in UX and product design and accessibility, and I'd had some really great roles living in London. The previous role before moving home was working for Lloyds Banking Group, redesigning their commercial banking platform. So quite a nice, juicy, meaty piece of work, complex and everything. And I came back to New Zealand and, quite pregnant. What should I do? Should I just, kind of go on maternity leave or should I get a new contract? And of course, I've got a bit of a obsessive, compulsive, work ethic. So I got a contract and challenging getting, the kind of meaty, juicy contracts that you'll get in London from Cromwell. But I managed to get a role with Myer, which is the Australian department store, as the only New Zealander on their digital team, mostly based out of Melbourne. That's where I met my co-founder, Paul. Paul had the original idea of Ally Cares, which at the time was called Ally. And he saw his parents struggle with looking after his grandmother, who had dementia at the time. And he'd had this idea about how a digital solution such as Ally could help remove the anxiety and stress for them. Sort of as we've gone, we've reframed it a little bit more to empowering people living with dementia or cognitive impairment to kind of take ownership and, still own their own independence to a level, knowing that at any point if they slip, they've got the safety net of their family members there to kind of catch them, which is that connected, that unobtrusive connected part of it. So that's kind of where we started from. Paul stepped back a couple of years ago we've just been charging on since then. Got quite a small but very dispersed, globally dispersed team. And we're doing some really great stuff. We've got, at the moment, we're working on a pilot with Chatsford, who are out in Mosgiel.
Yeah.
So looking at how we can integrate the app in a retirement village setting. We've got some new features that are really cool that we think could be very valuable for the likes of retirement villages. One feature we've got is called Safe Track, and we use the accelerometer and the gyroscope in your mobile phone. So basically every time you lift it up, we know you've lifted it up. So we can measure your behaviour just based on when your phone is moving, right? Not when you interact with it, not when you turn it on. We're not looking at what you're looking at. We just know it's moved.
Mm-hmm.
So we can safely say that you're okay. So, for example, we create a baseline of behaviour. So mum normally picks up her phone every morning at 7 a.m. She kind of puts it down at night about 9 a.m. and picks it up every hour or so during the day. But today is 10 a.m. She hasn't picked up her phone. So we'd send a check-in, so a push notification check-in that's automated that says, hey, is everything okay? And if she doesn't respond to that, then we escalate. So we send a notification to the village. Mm. So the village can go in and check in on mum. So it works really well in the independent living setting. And it's something that, we've heard some stories from some of the retirement villages around, someone having a stroke or a heart attack or whatever and being found a couple of days later.
Mm.
So it's one of those things where time is of the essence, but also it's, still giving them their privacy, their independence, putting cameras in their homes, things like that. It's just that unobtrusive, hey, we think something's not right.
Yeah.
Why don't you go check in on, Mrs. Smith? So, that's I'm excited to see how that floats at Chatsford. So
yeah, that's genius. I've done community support work and stuff in my past, and to be honest, it's always a concern when you walk into someone's house at 7-8 in the morning. You never quite know what you're walking into, and there's lots of people that don't have care 7 days a week, some might only have three, some might not have any at all. So
yeah. And I mean, we do hear stories too where sometimes, care workers don't turn up.
Mm-hmm.
If the person's relying on medication or all sorts, I've got experience in as a care worker as well. When I was first moved to London, I was there right when the financial crisis hit, and I ended up losing my job. It was in advertising at the time, and there was just no roles. So I went and I did care work, and I actually lived with the sweetest little old lady in South Kensington. I was there for about a year, actually, and I ended up continuing to live there. I was probably working for her for about 6 months, and then while she had a hip replacement, and then she was all better. And she said to me, because I started, the market was coming back, so I was looking for jobs. And she said, well, do you want to just keep living here? And I said, well, yeah. I mean, it's,
yes, please.
You're great. And this is South Kensington. So it worked out really well. I'd go to work during the day and then I'd come back and, make her dinner and things like that at night. And I was her flatmate. She's a 94-year-old flatmate. So that was pretty cool, yeah. But sorry, sidetracked there. But yes, it's one of those things where, it can make you nervous. For Mrs. Lamb, for example, the woman I used to live with, she lived across three floors, and her only toilet was on the top floor.
Mm.
So it does make you nervous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're just going to take a super quick ad break and we'll be right back.
MS Otago aims to empower people with multiple sclerosis and their support networks by providing them with information and skills to participate actively in the community in ways that are meaningful to them. You can find us at Dunedin Community House and online at msotago.org.nz. Or you can give us a call on 027 889 9035. MS Otago, working for the people of Otago.
If you're just joining us, this is MS Momentum. My name is Katie Burns. I'm the Community Connector for MS Otago. Today I'm talking with Angela Edwards, founder of the Ally Cares app, an app that helps support people to live independently. So before the break, we were talking about the app itself and kind of how it came about and that kind of stuff. And I just wanted to kind of go back over, I guess, and quickly mention some of the features. So I know there's medication reminders,
appointments,
tasks.
Yep. And then there's safe zones.
And safe zones. So, could we maybe deep dive a little bit more into some of those features and how they might work?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, we are building out the symptoms a part of it as well, logging symptoms, and we've got hydration reminders as well. Obviously, there's a big concern quite often around older people and not drinking enough water.
Mm.
But the features that we've got at the moment, medication reminders, you just set those up. They're kind of automated. You'll get a push notification when to take your medication. Then you mark it off if you don't take your medication. Then if you don't action anything, you can reschedule it, skip it. But if you don't do anything, you'll get another notification about 20 minutes later. And then on the hour, you'll get a final notification. If you're connected to a family member, they'll receive a notification to say that you've missed your medication.
Mm-hmm.
So it's connected in that way that your family can kind of know what's going on and check in on you as well. That works the same way for appointments and tasks as well. So you get these nudges to do these things, and if you don't do them, then the kind of the accountability is with your family members.
Mm-hmm.
Safe zones, you can turn safe zones on or not. If you just have the tracking on, then a family member can just sort of go into the app and see where you are. If you then add specific zones, they'll get notified when you move outside of those zones. And you'll also get a notification. So the senior will get a notification saying, hey, is everything okay? You've moved outside of your home safe zone. Do you want to ignore this alert? Do you want to phone a family member? Or do you want directions home?
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you those three options. Now, you can set the safe zone to pretty much as big as you want or as small. Well, the largest size we've got kind of covers Dunedin.
Right.
And then you can kind of just create sort of more around those as well. But quite helpful, I think, if there's specific areas that you're a bit nervous about a family member moving towards, like maybe near your house, maybe if you live near the beach, maybe you want to put a safe zone around, you know, where the beach is or something like that, just so you're kind of notified when they're in that area. It works pretty well. I got buzzed on my Apple Watch earlier as I moved outside of my safe zone. So there's a level of connectivity with that as well. I can't actually mark anything off on my watch at the moment, but we're getting to that point. We'll be able to integrate things a bit better. So that's kind of the sort of crux of it at the moment, the basic features. We've just added six new languages to the app because we've had some requests for German and French, and so we also added Spanish and Tereo,
awesome.
As well as Japanese. We need to have the Japanese version, I think, checked quite thoroughly because my Japanese is quite bad.
Okay.
There's quite a lot happening with the app at the moment, and that's sort of the basic of it.
Yeah, awesome. And so when you're saying like the, so is it the person, like so the older person sets all those things up, or can the family set them up on their behalf, or
both? Yeah. So we've given the flexibility that ultimately, so we've got people who have got dementia diagnosis who are very functional. They're kind of in the earlier stages. They may only start to struggle kind of later in the day, or when they're kind of met their sort of cognitive reserves. But basically, they manage very, very well. They might have a family member who, is not really active in the app at all, but it's there for them if they need to. And then we've got other users who where the person has got probably mid to late stage dementia, and where the app really helps is it helps the family member really to manage them and their day a lot better as well. So there's kind of a use case for both, but ultimately we wanted to build it in a way that the person living with dementia or the senior was able to manage their day themselves, structure what they wanted in the app, what they needed, and at any point in time, they're able to kind of seamlessly hand that over to a connected family member when they need that.
Yeah. So it's kind of covering both bases, really, isn't it? Yeah. So you've got that kind of independent person who's either their family wants, or they want, or both, someone kind of to still be connected enough to know, I guess, the in and outs of what's happening.
Exactly, yeah.
To keep track of that sort of stuff. And then, that kind of later stages where it might be more the family really needs that extra support to keep on top of things.
Exactly, yeah.
And yeah. I'm just thinking, because, I'm thinking of my parents. If I set up this app for them, they're quite anti-technology. and it would probably take me a long time to teach them how to use, I guess, the app. And I guess I'm quite lucky in terms of, I'm in the same city as them.
Yeah.
So I can do that. Is there any, I guess, support for people who may be struggling to set up the app, or how simple is the app to kind of set up and understand?
Yeah. We've built it with people with cognitive impairment and their care partners. In saying that, though, there's always going to be just a little bit of complexity with it, because what we're building out, they're not simple features, we're trying to do it in a way that's smart enough to really help you. We've had a lot of feedback that it is easy to get onboarded. We've also had feedback where people have had challenges. I think it depends on your level of comfortability, if that's a word.
Yes.
With technology, apps, and as far as support goes, we're on the end of a phone or email. Mm-hmm. I get emails. I respond to all of the customer queries that come in, and quite often I'll do a Loom video for them. So basically my face on the screen as well as the app on the screen, and I'll walk them through how to do something.
Nice.
It's kind of, we're at those sort of stages where we're growing, but at the same time we don't have capacity for a full-time support team or the sort of tech, I guess, that isn't really... basically at the moment I want it to be person to person to get people the help they need if they need it to get on. So in answer to your question, we've basically, you reach out and we can help you get on. I think there will be some people who with the app's just not suitable. It will depend on a lot of things, like So, for example, the app would not be suitable for my dad, but the app would be suitable for my mum.
Yeah.
So, like, my dad, he's got a smartphone but doesn't really use it, doesn't know how to use it really except for texting and answering calls. My mum, on the other hand, very tech savvy, uses her phone for everything.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's finding out how it works for and how it might not.
Exactly. But in saying that as well, like if you were to connect with, if I was to connect with my father on the app and I could set him up with all these reminders and all he would need to do is respond to them, which is push a button, do the thing, mark it off. He wouldn't need to do anything else.
Yeah.
So they don't need to be super tech savvy, but they need to be like somebody who uses a phone and would be response, you know, would respond well to the technology, just supporting them.
Yeah. We are unfortunately out of time. So just before I sign off quickly, if people want to know more about the Ally app or are they interested in downloading it, where should they go?
Absolutely. Yeah. Come to our website. Mm-hmm. So we're on the app stores. We're on both app stores, but you can come to the website. It's got more information. It's got some videos as well. So that's www.alliapp.co. So that's ELLIAPP.CO.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming in and joining me today to chat. It's been really, really good to know more about you and your awesome app.
Oh, thank you very much, Katie.
You've been listening to MS Momentum, brought to you on the third Wednesday of the month by me, Katie Burns, Community Connector for MS Otago. You can listen again to this episode and find other podcasts from this series at oar.org.nz and on your favourite podcast platforms. To contact MS Otago, you can email info@msotago.org.nz or call us on 027 889 9035. Thanks for listening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.